Okay, so we're going to try for an hour here. And
this
miss...
is called No Segways?
This is No Segways.
All right, so my parents knew the governor of Montana.
Right.
We're starting with No Segways.
Right. So, be a floating asterisk in there somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Mark Roscoe used to be the governor of Montana. That's R-A-C-I-C-O-T, Roscoe.
Rascot.
Yes.
Right.
Mark Roscoe's dad was my dad's best man at his wedding, not at anything other than his wedding.
Got it.
But my parents knew Mark Roscoe.
P. Coltrane.
And Mark Roscoe is a Republican. He was a Republican governor of Montana.
Right.
And one of the better governors of Montana there have ever been. You might remember a number of years ago, the huge wildfires.
In Montana.
In Montana.
Right.
And
they have trees there.
Lots of trees.
Okay.
They have more trees than people, like most states. But Mark Roscoe handled it brilliantly, and I got nothing bad to say about the man. Anyway, you were saying.
Did he turn off the lights when he left?
No, he did not.
They're still on now.
The next governor did.
Okay.
He turned off the lights when he came in.
I gotcha. So, and they're still off now.
And they're still off now.
Okay. Was he a tester?
No, that's the senator. That's different from the governor.
You plug him in and watch his little crew cut spike up.
He only has three fingers. Right. So.
He does?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he lost part of his hand in a thresher, I think.
A thresher?
Yeah. Or, wait, was he in the meat business? Maybe he was in a meat grinder. I don't know.
Could be. Oh, God.
Hey, he lost part of his hand.
Now I've got a horror movie going through my head. One of my earliest horror movie memories, which is one of the reasons I don't watch horror movies. There was a scene where somebody got fed into a meat grinder. This is in the 70s.
Okay, could be anything.
Yeah, could be. I know somewhere along the line there was a finger in a box. It may be the same movie, I don't know, but there was a finger in a box and it was in a kitchen at night and the finger tried to strangle the guy who opened the box and they ended up shoving the finger down the garbage disposal.
Yeah, I think I've seen the same scene, but it's not memorable.
I want to say it's Phantasm.
Could have been.
I mean, I know Phantasm was one of the movies that was shown that night. It was weird. It was a fucking Bambi. I was 7 years old. Work with me here. I was 7 years old. There was Bambi. There was Journey to the Center of the Earth. And then there was a horror movie after that. And I had to stay through all three movies. And since I'm seven, I can't tell you a whole lot about any of these movies.
Well, the star of the Phantasm, his name was Angus as well.
Right. The old guy with the ball.
Yeah, the old guy with the ball. Okay. And it's the only movie that I own on Laserdisc. Yes, I own that on Laserdisc.
Do you have a Laserdisc player?
No, I do not.
Okay.
So I display it just on my bookshelf.
I got a rack of DVDs.
I still have VHS.
See? And neither of us have any player to...
No. In fact, I still think I have a storage unit in Los Angeles with beta tapes in it.
Cuck video.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Beta tapes. Sorry, I had to make over the obvious joke.
And of course, you know, I invested in HDD.
Which was wrong.
Which was wrong. I shouldn't have done that, no.
Well, see, but you know, at this point, you know, you got to remember... You just, and you lived in LA, so you know this. Which way is porn going?
Yeah.
And
that
porn,
was HDD. They didn't go Blu-ray.
Really?
Yeah.
Blu-ray won?
Yeah, Blu-ray still won.
That's, wow. A broken cock is right twice a day. Yeah. Sorry.
At least twice a day. Depends on if you play with the taint.
Right. Okay. Is there something you need to share with the class?
No.
Okay.
Aside from honesty, no.
No, not at all. Hi, we're in our 50s. How's your bladder?
It's the size of a melon.
Right. Yeah. So, No Segways is kind of a, more than anything else. I when I did this show with Matthew, and just as an aside, Matthew, if you're listening, I hope everything's going okay. This was a philosophy discussion, which, I mean, there was comedy involved, because...
Like we did just
right,
now.
Yeah. Right, you know, and there's, yeah, you know, it's talk, and Matt, well, we both got overexcited, but but there was a lot of talk about, there was ADHD involved, there was... you know, the focus, there's productivity. And I wanted to kind of center it on more of a philosophy thing because you've known me 20 years.
Easily, about, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not the, well, I'm still kind of the pinball that I used to be, but not so much. Right. I hope not. Because it, just being a pinball at the age of 51 is really not fucking healthy anymore. Okay?
Right, yeah.
Some of us have to mellow in our old age, and there you go. But the pandemic over the past 2 years, there's been a lot of deep work involved, and that was where this started. And it was kind of, this is kind of the intellectual heir of Gin and Corn Chips in a way, because it's no segues. But I wanted it to be more than just rambling. There's got to be, for me, there's kind of got to be a point now. And it kind of fell to Matt and I to talk about, oh, in a way, finding the difference between right and wrong in a way.
Well, there's a lot of that that I think many Americans do not think about. The philosophy of ordinary life.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Well, we were talking before the show, and I kind of carried it into the show. We were talking politics.
Yes.
How do you vote and why? And there is obviously the left-right bias that is what the media largely focuses on. That's what politicians largely focus on. But the philosophy is really, will this candidate do right by me? That's kind of the ethical question. Will my vote for this candidate help me and help my neighbors? That's the ethical question. That is a moral question.
Is it, though? Because I understand what you're saying. I take your point. But haven't we kind of entered an area here, especially in the past couple of years, where it's not what can you do for me and my neighbors, it's what can you do for me?
That is becoming more important as an electoral concern. And frankly, you know, since workers are being more and more marginalized by companies and corporations, mm-hmm. That's all we have time to think about. What can you do for me?
Okay. There's another side to that coin.
Go right ahead.
What are you going to do to them?
Yes. That is an excellent point. Because philosophy is not a zero-sum game, despite how we want to think about it. A gain for us is not necessarily taking away from anybody else.
There is a point of the. There is a certain percentage of the population that thinks so.
That thinks so, but in real life, helping somebody in need does not hurt us. Whether that person is homeless or hungry or an immigrant, that does not hurt us. That actually helps us.
In real life,
that is true.
Yes.
We may not feel that it is.
Or we're not being told that it is. Well, okay, I'm sorry. There's this... the cult, for lack of a better way to put it, mm-hmm. Okay, believes that I'm voting for the guy that agrees with me that's going to keep them little brown people from taking my job. And let Jesus lead us, and we're going to...
You're so good at that voice.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so under his eye, it... yeah, okay?
White baby Jesus says, But no, I mean,
it's really, it's something to think about. This is really, I think this is really happening, and I'm very afraid that this country is going to turn into, in a way, a kind of theocracy.
You're on the right track, and I'm afraid of the same thing. Now, I came of age. My first vote in a presidential election came in 1984. That was Ronald Reagan's re-election campaign.
Right, and you voted for Jesse Jackson in the primaries.
Oh, no, wait. I did not.
No, wait, that was me in 88.
I was growing up in Minnesota, and Ronald Reagan ran that year against Walter Mondale, who was from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So I voted for the hometown guy and was one of, what, two states and the District of Columbia that voted for Walter
Mondale. One state.
One state.
Minnesota and the District of Columbia voted for Walter Mondale. Yes.
Okay, I thought maybe Massachusetts, but okay, yeah. Walter Mondale got wiped out.
Yeah.
And after that, I voted Libertarian for a decade.
That's right. You voted plus for Harry Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I could not call myself a Democrat at that time. But I was still apologizing to our exchange students for electing Ronald Reagan a second time because I was embarrassed by him. He did get one thing right. Well, partially right.
Umbrellas and laser beams.
No. A rising tide lifts all boats. Now, that doesn't actually help the boats that have already sunk. But what he was referring to was supply-side economics, which in his head, which was wrong, is just the top of the water going up. But it doesn't happen that way. That's not how tides rise. It raises from the bottom up.
Yes.
You support the weakest, and the rest of everybody goes up. So we had it partially right.
Well, he had it ass backwards. I mean, the whole point of Reaganomics, yeah. I mean, you were there.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you remember, but they
get the Laffer curve. And
right.
I remember quite a lot. I'm a drinker, but I remember.
Who are you?
I don't know.
Jesus.
Where am I?
I have no idea.
Is this still Virginia?
No.
It says so on my letter.
It says so on...
It does. It says Virginia, Virginia on my letter.
Virginia's for lighters. Gotcha. Okay. We've had 40 years of them trying to do what they have promised forever, right? And even fucking David Stockman said, this ain't going to work, and it didn't, is trickle down. We'll give the money to everybody up here. And you guys just sit here with, you know, like fucking turkeys with your mouth open. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually the drops will come, right?
Yeah.
But it 40 years and it's never happened. When do we give that shit up and try something different?
One of the talking points I've been hearing, even on MSNBC and NPR these days, those liberal boogeymen in the mainstream, lamestream media,
mm-hmm.
is that inflation today is the worst it's been in 31 years. How many times have you heard that?
I've heard that a lot.
All
yes.
right. 31 years ago was 1990. Who was president in 1990?
Well, that would have been Bush.
After how many years of Republican fiscal policy?
Mm-hmm.
10 years.
Yeah. So,
worst it's been since 10 years of Republican policy.
They're not going to admit to that. Their math is off. You know what they're trying to do. Well, I mean, it would be better if they actually...
Nobody says that, though. I mean, if you're going to give the context of 31 years, tell us what it was in 31 years ago.
Well, this is them being stupid. If they wanted to actually get the point that they wanted to make, they would have said, ready, that it's the worst that it's been since the 90s.
Okay, and then you could blame it on Clinton.
Exactly, but they're... But because people are stupid and they can't math, or whatever, they put it back to Poppy Bush, and you know. Even Poppy Bush, like him or hate him, and he was a much more likable guy in his later life than as and like I, most I presidents are. I
have nothing bad to say about Poppy. He was a nice man. Mm-hmm. He may have been wrong about a lot of things, but I honestly think he was a decent man trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think we can say that.
And he may have been the last one, because his son certainly wasn't that. And the previous guy certainly wasn't that.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jesus. Oh.
Not a decent man.
No. But I will say this. I think the Bush and W, mm-hmm. I think outside of policy, outside of the White House, outside of everything else, I think they were decent human beings. I don't wish evil on anybody other than one president.
Nobody who doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, nobody that doesn't deserve it. But yeah, I don't know. I think it all comes down to what's right and what's wrong. And what we've been doing, I just think we've been doing it wrong. I actually wrote something about we're doing it wrong not too long back. And
I read that, yeah.
I have trouble. Okay, so what's the right thing? Right? And
that's a tough question, and that's what we need philosophy for, is to work back to those first principles. What is right? And it's not just what's right for me, although that factors into it, but what's right for me, what's right for my neighborhood, what's right for my community at large. And I spoke with one of our friends over this weekend who is from Spain. Mm-hmm. And I had never asked her this question before. Even though I've known her for almost as long as I've known you. Mm-hmm. But I asked her, what do you think about Catalan independence? And she says, I'm all for it. I'm like, you know what? I am too. Because I'm in favor of one of my basic principles that I've thought about over decades now, is I support personal responsibility. You vote for what is most important for your community. I think that's true of Catalan independence. Mm-hmm. I think that is true of the Armenians and the Kurds.
Okay.
I think they have a right to self-determination that they should be able to decide for themselves.
But the SNP in Scotland?
I think they deserve a vote. They have been a part of another nation for quite a long time, mm-hmm. and I think they deserve a vote on whether they should separate or not. Whether or not they can govern themselves as their own country is kind of a separate issue, because I don't think they have the agriculture to support their own population.
That's possible. Now, they did have a referendum some years ago, and it was voted down. But Brexit has happened since then, and if you listen to the SNP, of course, is the largest Scottish representation in the British Parliament. I know it'll probably shock you that I actually listen to a lot of British Parliament. But
oh, I'm not surprised at that at all.
I find parliamentary government much more fascinating than our own, actually. House of Commons debates are...
I think they're great.
I think they're fantastic.
Australian Parliament is also great.
Yep. Don't bother with Canada. You know I have a soft spot in my heart for Canada. And I've watched in the past couple of elections, they have the leaders' debates before the election. So you have... Yes.
The leaders' debates are great.
They're great. They're fantastic. But no, Justin Trudeau doesn't answer a fucking question. He doesn't. There's one guy, the NDP, and I can't remember his name, but he's Sikh. And his name, I think his last name is Singh. I can't remember. But he's a very charismatic guy. But again, he doesn't answer questions. Anybody, and this is the thing, the crackpots, they answer questions.
Yeah.
They don't answer them the way that you would like them to, but they're brutally honest, and that's why we don't fucking vote for them.
Like the cup was separatists and all.
Yeah, that guy. He's in, God, I can't remember his name, but he's...
I support the Quebecois move for independence. I support them. If they can get other members of the province of Quebec to support them too. Because you're not talking about just yourselves here, you're talking about the province of Quebec.
Yep.
They have the right to self-determination.
Yes, they do.
And
it's actually right now, codified now.
It's actually codified. Yeah. The separatists are still a minority. So I don't care if you're louder. You're not carrying the votes.
So now I have to ask you the ultimate question. Palestine.
You know what? This came up the other day. And you and I have talked about it. And it is not anti-Semitic to call out the Israeli government when they're being assholes. And one of the more frequent metaphors that is drawn when we talk about Palestine is that of South Africa, of apartheid.
Yeah.
That the Palestinians are being marginalized in the same way that blacks were marginalized in South Africa and Soweto and so on. But I think the more appropriate metaphor is what we Americans did to the American Indians. Okay, we've created these reservations for you to live on, and we might take those away too. And we will kill you if you say anything about that. The Palestinians have been living there for just as long as Jews have.
Yep.
They are Semites, just like Jews are. They should live in the same country as brothers do in the same house. They don't always get along. They don't have to. They are brothers, not clones. But they have a right to self-determination, too.
Yeah.
And a two-state solution really is the only solution. So why isn't everybody working towards that?
So the people that are in control of the Palestinian Authority now is Hamas.
Well, I'm not sure if I agree with that.
Well, I think they are the...
They are the political representation, but are they the actual representation?
No, possibly not. Who's got the seat at the table is the problem. Mm-hmm. And if it's Hamas that has the seat at the table, the Israelis are never going to fucking deal.
I think the Palestinians need their own leader.
Well, they did for a minute. They had, the Palestinian Authority, after Arafat died, and there was this Palestinian, I mean, it wasn't quite a nation, but it was, you know, there was this thing, there was this organization, there was this authority, and there was a guy whose name escapes me, but he was the dude, he was the guy at the table, and then he got turfed.
Yeah.
By Hamas, who decided, you know what, we need to be a political organization too. So they got the votes or whatever, and they're the ones with the seat at the table. And Bibi, like him or not like him, he just said, I ain't fucking talking to these people. And in the middle of this, you've got these people in, like, you know, Gaza City and whatever that are all, you know... They're just holed up in this little small strip of fucking land, and they can't get out. And the power gets shut off. There's no potable water. There's, you know, they're living in the worst fucking ghetto that you could possibly imagine times 100.
And you get surprised when they're upset about that.
Yeah.
Brief anecdote.
Yep.
And I speak with all the moral authority of 1 year in journalism school. And in that 1 year of journalism school, and it was in Iowa, I had a class on doing research stories, which is, these usually appear on like page A15, you know, they're background stories. Mm-hmm. And they give you the statistics, right? And they're research, basically. So I went through all kinds of primary sources. Haaretz was included among them.
Okay.
The Israeli national newspaper. But also the New York Times, Washington Post, AP, Reuters. I went through all of these resources about Palestinian and Israeli conflicts. And these are the small scale things, you know, people throwing rocks on the street. And I noticed a pattern. It was primarily Palestinian students throwing rocks at Israeli tanks, followed by Israeli soldiers shooting Palestinian rioters. That was the arc virtually every time. And I did some basic math, and for every Israeli killed, something like 22 to 28, I forget the exact number, Palestinians were killed. And the Palestinians were always the aggressors when they were dying over 20 to 1. That did not make sense to me. And the point of this whole anecdote was that story got spiked. It did not get written. You cannot write the story.
Because you're not towing the party line, basically.
Well, there was no reason given.
But you understand that we are friends to Israel, right? We understand that there is no greater friend to the United States than Israel. I'm going to sound like a fucking bigot before this is over.
I'm just saying I wrote a story that I think... Objectively, because it was statistics, objectively, it favored the Palestinians, and the story got spiked.
Personally, I am, and I'm sounds like you're the same mindset, I actually am on the side of the Palestinians in this particular case. And that's kind of hard to say, because as I have mentioned a moment ago, we are friends to Israel. I don't give a fuck. That's kind of a harsh way to put it. I think the original argument that we made is that we have the ability to call out the Israeli government. I am, just because I call out the Israeli government for being shitty, in the way that I would call out Pick Botha for being shitty, right?
Yeah. All right. If you're being an asshole, I don't mind calling you an asshole. That doesn't matter what color you are, what religion you are, what country you represent. If you're being an asshole, I'll call you an asshole.
These people get bombed every day. I mean, that's hyperbole. These people live in substandard conditions. They don't get the help they need because there's a blockade, of course, right? They don't get aid from other countries that are trying to help because Israel's like, well, there are terrorists holed up in, you know, several city blocks or whatever, that kind of thing. So nothing comes in, nobody gets out.
Yeah. That's why we had to blow up the Reuters media facility.
Apparently, I just, this is the one argument, I guess, and maybe we're not supposed to understand it. I don't know.
It's probably more complex than either one of us is making it. So I'm going to clearly express this as an opinion from an outsider viewing it. Mm-hmm. You're kicking a dog that's down, Israel.
Yeah.
Israel is kicking a dog that's down. And you and I are alike in the way that we have both always supported the underdogs. You were a Red Sox fan prior to 2004.
Yes.
I have been a lifelong Twins fan.
I mean, but you have to understand that if you're born north of New York City, it's the law. You're in Red Sox Nation.
And I grew up in Twins territory. So.
There's a couple of things that, I mean, you understand that there are laws. They're codified. There are. Is you're a Red Sox fan. You're a Celtics fan. After you reach a certain age, you move to Miami. There's a couple of different things there.
Well, and you also rooted for the Patriots when they had a guy named Grogan. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I was rooting for the Patriots when they had a guy named Plunkett.
Is that why I became a Raiders fan?
Yeah, I followed you while my dad was the Raiders fan, but Plunkett went to the Raiders, and I was actually pretty happy about that as a fucking 10-year-old kid. I mean, you know, that 19, was it 80 or 81? They faced the Philadelphia Eagles, and Ron Jaworski was the quarterback for the Eagles at the time. And
the stick man, okay.
Yeah, and I almost switched mid-game. to root for the Eagle. My dad, oh my God, he had a fit. He because they kept calling the quarterback Jaws.
Jaws, yeah.
I was like, that's the coolest fucking name for a quarterback ever. I'm 10 or 11, right? You know, and I'm like, you know, I was like, they're going to go Eagles. And Dad's looking at me and says, you want me to turn the TV off? Now we're living in Gitmo. If you turn the TV off, there ain't no more TV. There was only one channel. So, no, Dad.
That's the Armed Forces Channel.
Yeah.
All you got.
Yeah. Channel 8. Warren Center. 15 minutes from everywhere. Gitmo's small. There was a, God, New York Times article this past week. I think it was New York Times. That they actually did a feature story on Guantanamo Bay, that it's more than just the fucking prison. And I am one of a very small club that looked at that article and said, no shit, Sherlock. Yeah. You know?
It's more than Base Delta.
Yeah. That base is where I went to the beach. Mm. It's built on where I went to the beach. Quick story. Probably not. I'm at the beach.
In Cuba.
It used to be called Windmill Beach. Okay?
Was there a windmill?
No.
Okay.
Could have been. I mean, there was a desal plant. It could have happened. It was just on the other side of the...
There may have been a windmill at one point.
Right, you know, but yeah, the desal plant was on the other side of the bay. So, we're at the beach, me and my friends, middle of summer. I see a boat. Boats are usually not at that part of the... Because Windmill is actually out facing the Caribbean Sea. It's not facing the bay. Caribbean Ocean. So, I see this boat. And this boat's doing something that boats don't do over there. It's getting bigger. And then it's getting bigger. And it's getting bigger. And then I start hearing engines behind me. And I see Marines. Six bys.
Not a good sign.
Six bys. Lots of them. Right? Six bys are the big Marine trucks. If you've ever seen, oh, I don't know, Raiders of the Lost Ark. yeah. Okay. The big German trucks. Those are six bys.
With the canvas bats. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Colonel Navidel, who was a friend of my dad's and the guy who was the commander of the Marine part of the base, comes up and he sees me, and it's easy to see me because even at the age of 10, even living in Guantanamo, the beacons are lit, Condor calls for aid. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm my own
man of Rohan will respond.
I'm my own solar panel. It's, you know, he sees me and he walks over and says, "Rolly, get you and your friends off the beach right now," which of course means we didn't, because we're 11 years old, and this is...
We want to see what's going on.
You bet your ass I do. And I start seeing people jump off the boat. It is now maybe 100 yards offshore, and people are jumping off the boat. And it's at that point that I realize that there are way too many people on this boat. And
was there a little bald man in the boat?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. That surprises me right there.
Right. Well, you know, I was always told I wasn't supposed to be able to find it. So I knew this couldn't be it because I could clearly see it. So it turns out that these were Haitians. You know, and I went home to, and I said, you know, Dad, did you hear? He said, yes, son. Were you on the beach? Yes. What the fuck were you doing at the beach? Because then I remembered I wasn't supposed to be there. Oh, nothing. And it turns out we'd had, that was the first of many, over the course of that summer, many such boats appearing in Guantanamo Bay. And it was a much easier journey, less dangerous, not to say that it wasn't dangerous, but less dangerous is the trip from Haiti to Gitmo than it would be from Haiti to Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So they would come to Gitmo, and the Marines would come down and fish them off the boat and put them up at, you know, one of the many fine Quonset huts that we had here in town.
If we ran out, we could put up another one.
Yeah, and then they'd figure out what to do with them. Usually, they sent them back to Haiti. And I've been to Haiti, and that's no bargain. Trust me.
Unless any of them were from Dominican and could play second base.
Exactly. Then, you know, then you forward them on. You
go, yeah, then they can go.
Is your name Sammy by any chance? We're going to hell.
We are.
We're going to hell.
We started talking about philosophy, and this is why.
This is, yeah. But philosophy is supposed to be... Oh, I guess it was Socrates that said that Plato brought philosophy down from the heavens to us good salt of the earth people. Right. And philosophy is supposed to be, you can argue with me about this, but philosophy is supposed to be basically an operating system.
How to live in society. That's largely what it is. How do you live together? And... going well back beyond my turn to liberalism, I'm 55 years old, and I have become more liberal in my age, which is unusual. But I think where it started starts also with the Marines. And you'll remember, I think it was right about 1980, there was another tent city on the other coast in Camp Pendleton.
Yes.
The Hmong refugees.
Yes.
And there was a tent city at Camp Pendleton. What are we going to do with all these refugees who helped us during the Vietnam War, are now fleeing a repressive regime? We can't send them back. We can't keep them here. What do we do with them? And my hometown of St. Paul, Minnesota said, we'll take some. Mm-hmm. And... we did. We did not treat them as well as we possibly could have. We stuck them in what used to be a ghetto in what's called, what was charmingly named Frogtown. Back in the day, there was actually a sign on the side of University Avenue as you entered Frogtown that said, don't feed the spooks.
Right. Okay.
We weren't entirely nice to the Hmongs. But we accepted them, and they tended to live together. They stuck to themselves, but they formed businesses. And I will tell you what, you will never have a better friend than somebody that you helped out in need. The Hmong have become a part of St. Paul, and they have made St. Paul better for it. And anybody in St. Paul who hates the Hmongs is just being a dick about it.
It's the same thing about the Lewiston and Portland area in Maine that accepted a lot Lewiston, yes. that accepted a lot of the Somali refugees.
Right. A lot of Somalis in St. Paul, too. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely right. Ilhan Omar.
I was going to say, isn't Ilhan Omar...
Yeah, she's Somali. Mm-hmm. But again, it's being a good neighbor. How to live in society. And I've read many religious texts in my day, the Christian Bible, the Torah, the Tao Te Ching, even like the Mahabharata, you know, and like that, the Vedas, the Analects of Confucius. I've read all of these things, and they're almost all about how do we live together as a group. Otherwise, you're just being a hermit. And much of our politics is about hermiting, you know, just your own personal wants and desires rather than how do we live together. My new next door neighbor is a Trump fan. I am not, but I've gotten to know her, and I think we can live in the same neighborhood.
Okay.
As long as we agree on some basic principles...
Let's not talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can get along with you fine. Let's just not talk politics.
I have the same outlook right now about people who are not vaccinated as much as I think that... I explained it to somebody else the other way, and this is a rather shitty way to put it, but I'm going to go ahead and put it that way. You have free will, which means that you have the right to be wrong. But, okay, go ahead and be wrong. Okay, one of us is right and one of us is wrong. But you know what? If I'm wrong, I'm going to own that shit. If you're wrong, I expect you to own that shit. And that's part of the problem, maybe?
This past week, I was in South Carolina. And we had Thanksgiving at my niece, my goddaughter, love of my life, who has about a two-year-old. He's going to be two in May.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she's pregnant with twins.
Yeah.
Nobody is allowed in her house who has not been fully vaccinated. I don't care if you're masked. If you haven't been fully vaccinated, you're not allowed in the house. Because
yeah.
It could be on your hands. Could be anywhere. And one of her other uncles was around for Halloween, has not been vaccinated, was not allowed in her house. But I was able to go to Thanksgiving because I'm fully vaccinated.
Yes.
So just be aware of what you're giving up. You are living in a society. If you want to hang out with your niece, who is pregnant with twins, get a shot. It's free. Doesn't hurt you. Yes, we do know what's in it. Just do that, and you can hang out together.
It blows my mind that we're having this argument.
It's not even an argument.
Well, yeah, there are people that don't want to get it because of whatever reason they decide to give. You know what? This is a day that ends in Y. There's something new. You know,
it's not an argument. They work. It's not an argument.
We understand that. It blows my mind that people keep coming up with reasons not to do it. And one of them is, I don't know how this became tyranny. I don't understand how it's tyranny. It's taking away your freedom to get a vaccination. There's 18 different reasons now, and I don't understand any of them. It pisses me off that there are people that file for... Now, it's something personal to me right now. There are people that actually have filed for religious exemptions that have gotten them that I don't think they've seen the inside of a fucking Catholic church in years.
And I don't think there's a religion that encourages it to die. I don't believe that there is one.
I specifically mentioned Catholics because the Pope said, get the shot. And if you've lost the Pope...
And I know exactly who you're speaking about. But
yeah,
I'm going to broaden this out to every religion.
Yeah.
Unless you're like a snake handler, none of them encourage you to engage in risky behavior. None of them do.
Snake handler. I'm sorry.
And I'll also point out that my other niece, who is my next door neighbor.
Yes.
And owns a horse who's in my backyard. I said hello to her today. Mm-hmm. I've asked her a number of times for ivermectin, and she has insistently denied me. So,
but doesn't a horse make his own paste?
Yeah, the horse does make his own paste. Constantly. Oh my God, she's a factory.
Just go in there with a spoon. Oh, for me? It's a little tiny. This horse is what, like 4 feet tall? I mean,
tiny. Yeah, it's just a little mini pony. Her name is Honeybee, and she's wonderful.
She's like, I mean, I can ride this horse.
Your feet, and you're not as tall as I am, would brush the ground.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Shit. God,
she's
been
tiny.
Hey, it's been years. God, the last time I rode a horse.
I won't let you
that
ride
almost
her.
This almost needs to be like Lyndon Johnson. Last time I rode a horse. How do I get home? The last time I rode a horse was 1983. Because, yeah, it was me and the Pack sisters. Okay. Three sisters that lived near me in Cuba that came here.
Were they pack animals?
They were, yes, they were. Susie, Sandy, and Wendy. The Pack sisters.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I regret making that joke.
Oh, Jesus. No, don't regret it.
Okay.
the Pack sister.
The pack animals.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, God, I made it again.
They were good people. They were. Their mom. Did you ever meet the stereotypical overweight housewife mom that always was in a muumuu?
Was I ever in my own house? Yes.
Okay, there you go. That's the. Oh God, Dad was a CB.
Okay.
So, and I'll tell you what, Mr. Peck was great. Mr. Peck was great for one thing. He could fix whatever I fucking broke. So.
Every one of them an Eagle Scout. I swear to God.
Oh God, he was a great guy. Peck sisters were great. Kids. They were my friends growing up, and then they moved here, and they were stationed out at they lived out of Wadsworth Housing, which is a little ways away from here. Navy Housing, that's away, and I used to end up down there more than I was here in my own house, because did I mention that they were the Peck sisters? Okay. And if you're asking the obvious question, the answer is yes. So,
triplets.
They weren't. They weren't. They were all very close in age. But Wendy, Susie, and Sandy. And if the answer is, did you? The answer is, yes, I did. Yes, I absolutely did.
You had a pool.
Yeah, I did. Well, not then. We lived somewhere else at that point, but I had a pool nearby. Oh my God. But, you know, I mean, they lived like just right down the street from me in Cuba. And that was like a good 5 years that we were hung out together before they got stationed somewhere else. They followed me from Cuba and then they went somewhere else. I have no idea where they would be today. And they obviously probably don't even have the same name. But, you know, I kind of hope they do. For reasons you discussed earlier. Oh, my God. So we are going to help. Or maybe just me.
And that's your philosophy lesson for the day.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Lust after triplets, and that's what happens.
Right, basically. Yeah, that's the thing. I kind of went off the rails. No segues. When you get to philosophy, of course, one of the big things that is now is people using philosophy as a kind of self-help mechanism. I'll point specifically to Ryan Holiday and the Stoic philosophy that he does, the Daily Stoic, the three books that he's written.
Okay.
Ego is the enemy, stillness is the key, the first one whose name escapes me. But Stoic philosophy as an operating system for your life now. And I don't know, I have a basic problem with self-help books in general. As I've said many times, I've read more self-help books in the past, I'd say probably 5 years than anything, because I was going to create a character based on this.
Right.
But it was going to be satire and I was going to just kind of push it. But honestly, the more and more I read and the more I see these people on TV or on the internet or anything else, I can't write anything funnier than what they do themselves. Have you seen Tony Robbins?
Well,
you know,
the Chinese have a saying that distrust any man with only one book. And that's what a lot of self-help is. Anybody who only has one idea is wrong. My belief is that philosophy is a dynamic process. Something that you evolve over time and continue evolving. If it ever stops, you might as well give up.
Well, that puts stoicism out of the market right off the bat, because stoicism is based basically on a static set of principles, right? You know, you can only control what goes on in your ugly bag of mostly water. You can't control anything outside here.
But you can control what's going on inside this bag of mostly water.
Right.
And what's going on inside that bag of mostly water changes from day to day.
Right.
If you're not adjusting that, then you're not even living in the world.
No, you're not. So...
So, yeah, stoicism has its flaw. Anybody who has only one idea is wrong. And don't believe what I say. Or just take what I say and apply it. My issue with philosophy came with the dialectic.
Okay.
Okay, and that is thesis, any idea brings about its opposite. And then... these two things come into conflict, and you come up with the thesis, and then antithesis, come up with a synthesis, and that's your new idea, which creates its own antithesis, which brings you to a new synthesis, and so on and so on. In theory, hewing ever closer to a universal truth.
Isn't that kind of what Socrates was trying to get at, in a way?
In a way, it was. I wish I could remember the guy's name, but I've been drinking. So, I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head. But anyway, I applied the dialectic to the dialectic. And you know what happened?
You had to pee real bad.
No.
Oh, no, that's something else.
Instead of getting ever closer to a perfect mean, I started pushing the envelope the opposite direction. We got further and further apart. When you apply the dialectic to the dialectic, you have our political system today.
Yeah, okay. I get that.
So, was it right? No, it obviously wasn't, but it's a good thing to have. It's a good tool in the toolbox. But it's not the only tool in the toolbox. I still want to have... Socratic dialogue. I still want to have that.
Did you ever just think, speaking of Socrates, did you ever just think that they just, would you just shut the fuck up?
Oh
my God, you're annoying.
They said that. They said that out loud at his trial.
Well, yeah. And then he just said, fuck you, I'm going to be a martyr. Because they did offer him exile, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'd rather fucking...
Yeah. And then, you know, I owe Asclepius a chicken, so...
He had the chicken, not the fish? What?
Asclepius was the god of health. So he was asking somebody to sacrifice a chicken to his health. Good man. Good man. Was he right? Not always. So, you know, don't believe any one person, not me, not you, not Tony Robbins, not any book that you read. Read a ton of books.
Yeah.
Take what's necessary for your life.
Which is kind of the point.
Yeah.
But
you got to work out your own ethic.
So let's imagine for a second that I'm actually Algernon.
Oh, hi, Al.
Okay.
Haven't seen you in a while.
All right, so I'm a person that doesn't have any because, you know, I have the plate in my head and all that. Okay, so...
Chinette plate.
Right. Yeah, well, it's got the Royal Doulton and all that shit. Where am I going with this?
I don't know.
I just say, okay, but you get on with it. Just shut up. Okay, listen. So, I don't know nothing from nothing, right? I got an empty head and everything else. Okay, so what am I loading in here? Where do I start?
Wow, that is probably the best question.
Well, that's why I have a question. That's my job.
Where you start is simply here.
Well, good, I'm in the right place.
Exactly right.
Do some with the carpet.
It's like, where is the center of the universe? You're in it. You're in the center of the universe. What is most important to you right now?
Pudding.
So start with pudding. Okay, vanilla, chocolate, banana.
Well, strawberry, because I really want to kill somebody.
Oh, God!
And I know that's not you, because you would never eat strawberry pudding.
I couldn't even believe it. Okay.
All right, I'm done with you, Algernon. Okay. Is Alex in there somewhere?
Yeah, I think Alex. So, for the person that's uninitiated, okay, that, you know... Where do I start with it? Because, I mean, obviously... Unless you're a complete psychopath, you've got a compass in there somewhere, right? And I'm using my own methodology, mm-hmm. but I mean, I know that in those times that I have not listened to that little tiny fucking voice in me that tells me the difference between right and wrong, I fucked up, okay? I know that, all right? And I know the times that I said, I know what's right, and I didn't listen. Okay, you understand that. To me, it's getting in touch with that compass and saying, I know what is right for me. Okay, this is north.
Well, that's not always easy.
No, it's not.
It really isn't. And I'll give you an example of where to start. When I was in college, I took a theater arts degree. Mm-hmm. You and I are both thespians.
Yes.
Thespians. Well, we did an exercise where we just go around the circle and name a color. Somebody says blue. Next person says pink. Next person says yellow. Next person can't think of anything. That person has frozen. They don't know where to start. Blue, pink, and yellow have already been taken. Where'd you start? Yellow? Is yellow the word that's stuck in your head? Okay, start there. Say yellow again.
Right.
That was kind of the point. So wherever you are right now, start there. If you want a place to start, it may not be the best place to start. You may think that, okay, I'm going to hold off on this decision and I'm going to decide to start somewhere else that's better than where I am right now. No, start where you are. Start with the last thing that you heard.
Okay, and then...
Start here. Because that's where you are. That's the only place where you can start.
And then...
And you'll get other ideas as you go along. Just start.
And I guess the question is, start what?
Start. All right, that's a different question than the start where that you
okay,
start.
Okay, so I'm following up. So I'm starting here. I am here right now. Right?
Okay.
Stand in the place where you are. Fuck, God
now
damn it.
Now face north.
North. I think that's all we got.
That's it. All I'm saying is, if you're on step one,
mm-hmm.
do step one. Worry about step two later. You're not on step two yet. Stand in the place where you are.
Do it.
Now face
north. Now face north. I can't believe that we have actually just kind of... we have reduced... the whole of human existence
to
an REM song. I can't do anything. We're done. I'm Chris. That's Loon.
Aloha. Mahalo.
Good night, Yon.